From Directions Magazine, this is Directions on the News for Tuesday, September 17th, 2013. Each week, this podcast looks at news and trends related to all things location. This is Adina Schutzberg, Executive Editor at the ERISA GIS Pro Conference in Providence, Rhode Island.
And this is Joe Francica, Editor-in-Chief in Huntsville, Alabama.
Software patents are a topic that those in tech love to hate. This week, we look at some of the patents granted in the geospatial space in 2013 and ponder their impact, positive or negative, on our industry. But first, a word from our sponsor.
This podcast is brought to you by Esri. Make ArcGIS Online the mapping platform for your organization. Sign up for a free 30-day trial today at esri.com/agoleval.
Now, the newest patent to cross my desk in the geospatial space was announced by Dicarta last week. And the new patent is for, and I'm going to quote the press release, a better way for searching for places along a route. Dicarta has created local search technology that is more driver-centric, meaning it returns only the relevant search results for drivers looking for points of interest that are convenient to them based on their forward direction of travel and with minimal detour off their current road. And it goes on to say that the patent covers the ability to generate search results for places where the total time or distance to get to the search result and back en route is less than a driver set maximum. Is this patent a big deal? Is it new?
Well, I like it. I think whether you think that a patent should have been granted for this or not is a different question, but I like the application. And is it a big deal? Well, I think it takes away some of the frustrations that a driver has or anybody has who doing this kind of navigation and POI searches. I kind of thought of it when I read the patent as a not a geofence, but a geocone. So you're always looking ahead and you're always looking forward. But if you watch the video, it's really nothing more than a buffer zone search. And a way to make sure that you're getting total driving distance, not just as the crow flies distance. So I like the application. I think the patent has merit. And mainly, I think it has merit for one big thing. One of the most talked about things about location technology applications these days has to do with the connected car. And I believe this patent will not only allow you to do the search along the route, which is the name, right, but eventually probably will be linked to location-based advertising. So if you're a business and you come up in a search, you surely want to be able to reach out to the customers with an advertisement in this forward-looking mode.
Yeah, no, I think you're exactly right. This is smart. This is making search smarter. And this is, you know, search when you're in motion, when you're navigating, all good.
Yeah.
But here's what I think the patent and the associated announcement that we got in the press release is really about. And that's this, and I'm going to again quote the press release. The intellectual property covered in the patent is available now as part of Dicarta's L2 location engine is generating interest among automotive OEMs. So what they're really saying is, yeah, we've got this patent on this stuff, but don't worry about that because what we really want you to do is use our services.
Mm-hmm, right.
This is really a play about use our services, whether you're an automotive OEM or you're doing the connected car thing or you're just somebody putting out the latest navigation stuff. You know, use our services. So patents play many different roles, and in some cases, they're sort of marketing statements.
Yeah, and given, of course, the recent announcement that we talked about last week about the Nokia deal and how they kept the here division, that was all about patents and IP. Dicarta has never been one to tackle the automotive market, so it may have been their foray into that industry.
That's a good point, because we don't think about them in the navigation, the car navigation space, but maybe right. This is part of that move. Now, the next patent I want to talk about dates back to 1996, and it's held by a company called Remote Locator Services, LLC. And it's called Method and Apparatus for Locating Personnel and Objects in Response to Telephone Inquiries. And the title is terrible, but the way I understand it, and you have to think back to 1996 when we didn't really have cell phones or anything, and you really were tied to a landline phone. And what the patent describes, best I understand it, is a way for you to carry some transmitter in your pocket in your office building such that when a phone call came in for you to the main operator, it could be sent to the telephone closest to where you were, right? So maybe there was a phone in the copy machine room, and that's where you happened to be making some copies. If the phone call came in for you, they would route it to the phone in the copy machine room. Which, you know, for 1996, that sounds pretty clever and thoughtful and so forth. But now what this company is doing is it's actually filed a lawsuit against Apple and Google and carriers like Verizon, saying that basically they have infringed on this patent because of their phone finding and friend finding and location sharing kinds of applications. The other important thing to note is that the company itself came into being in August, which is when the news came out about this lawsuit.
Yeah, well, I think this is probably patent trolling in the extreme, and I'm glad you really explained it well, because until you went through that rather very good explanation, I wasn't sure I fully understood it, because I think you need a lawyer to read through the legalese just to find any merit to the claim. And not just a lawyer, but also an electrical engineer, because some of the specifics of the claim are just really detailed. And they say things like, as the transmitter is transported through the building, the tracking system continually updates transmitter locations in the information database. And I thought, wow, this is really very specific. My gut feeling when I looked at this is that, number one, it's patent trolling. Number two, it'll be tossed out because, again, the patent way back in 1996 doesn't have a lot of connection to the types of technology we have today in the cell phone. So that was my initial reaction.
Well, and I think that's exactly my issue, is I can't make the connection between having a phone call follow you because you're carrying a transmitter to my phone reaching out to me, my cell phone reaching out to me and saying, hey, this is where I am, you lost me.
Yeah.
Or I'm out at 6th and Main, and that's my location, and I'm sharing that with my mom. I can't make that stretch. And again, you're going to have to get a lawyer and an engineer to go through and see if there is, in fact, anything that says they have got that detailed set of information in the patent. I think, yeah, this is ripe for being thrown out. And that may be why, when the story popped up, so few people even bothered to cover it, because it was like, wow, this must really be a joke.
Yeah, right.
The next patent I want to talk about is a Google patent, and this was approved in April, and it's called Panoramic Images Within Driving Directions. And I'm going to quote Engadget explaining it, because the hardest thing about these patents is understanding what they're really about. So Engadget describes it this way. The idea is to ease navigation by making your screen view of the road more or less match your view in the windshield. How do you do that? Engadget goes on. The application describes a system combining garden variety GPS guidance with panoramic images, 3D models, full motion video, and even live feeds to enhance the route display, all in the correct 3D driver's view perspective. Okay, so you're sort of driving down the road in your car, but you're also driving down the road in your car looking at this device on your dash. And they sort of match. What you see out the windshield looks the same roughly as what you're seeing right in front of you.
Right.
Now, what's your reaction to that?
It's a great application. I like it from the standpoint of the application side of it. After reading the patent, I look at the very specific wording, and it pertains a lot to driving directions. If you think it will infringe on other AR apps, I'm not so sure. I think other AR apps are not always designed with driving in mind, nor do I see any of the existing augmented reality apps wanting to provide a substitution for navigation devices. So I look at the merit of the patent, but it's very specific. And if you try to look at down the road whether this will infringe on other 3D apps in geospatial, I don't think it's going to apply. I think it's very, very specific to driving and route navigation.
Yeah, and I'm not even sure that it necessarily is augmented reality, because if you have a separate screen, not one that you're looking through to see reality, then I don't consider it augmented reality. And the other thing that your idea that this is a very specific thing, this idea of, in a sense, this is sort of 3D video fusion of all this mm-hmm. data, and that is a very specific kind of thing, and that's hard to do, as we know, and to do in real time. So my first fear when I first saw this, I was thinking, oh, no, this means that we're not going to have any of this 3D visualization in our GPS navigators because Google's going to hold the patent. But I think you're right. This is a very specific application of it. And I'm not even sure this is ever going to be turned into a real application because I think it's going to, it could potentially be so overwhelming with information that it would defeat the purpose of just navigation.
Well, and it also, when I read it, it made me think, well, are they doing this to protect some future application that they're going to do in Google Glass? You don't necessarily make that leap right now because
it's so far away. Yeah,
it's so far away. But I'm wondering if again it was written to do something, you know, that again for some future app.
Yeah, that, but definitely an interesting one. And the fact that it just was granted in April meant that they've been I don't know when the application was submitted, but you know, you got to be a couple of years ahead of yourself if you're being granted the patent in 2013.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
they're ahead of things, as they often are at Google. Now, the last patent I want to talk about is also a Google patent, and this is called the Christmas patent because it was actually granted Christmas Day 2012, but the story didn't really break until January, so I'm counting it as this year. And it's called System and Method for Identifying Erroneous Business Listings. The idea is to highlight businesses that might go out of their way to suggest that their location isn't where it really is, but within the boundaries of some very well-searched location like the Eiffel Tower or Yellowstone National Park. What Google has to combat, of course, is people sort of faking their listings so that they turn up when people do the searches and hopefully drive more business. But they're sort of lying because they're saying they're at a certain location, but maybe they're not near it at all. So they've got this very complex procedure that you go through to sort of tag listings that might be wrong, is the best I can understand about how you would actually use this algorithm. That sounds really important because there is nothing worse than, and you've had this experience where you're looking for hotels and the hotel name is like Baltimore Inner Harbor Days Inn, except that it's like 10 miles from there.
Mm-hmm, right.
And that's just the name of the hotel, which is a different thing than actually saying it's in Inner Harbor when in fact it's 5 miles away or 10 miles away. So this to me sounds like a really positive thing for trying to clean up some of that potentially misleading and people who've gone out of their way to mislead you with their geospatial data.
Well, it sounds like it was written, the patent was written because they had a problem that they had to solve. It was not for anything that they may not have were going to capitalize down the road, but it sounds like they kept running into this same problem by those devious merchants who wanted to put in the wrong address of their establishment just so that it was close to a POI. And I think what they found in correcting the problem was that it had other applications as well. And so it was kind of like one of those things where, I got this problem, I got to solve it. And all of a sudden they realized it was somewhat valuable and decided to patent it.
And yeah, it could be used for other things. Now, what's interesting about this one to me is how you would actually implement it. So first you can run these algorithms against the data and the POIs and see which ones potentially, you know, look like something's amiss. And then you've got to check it. And Google is an interesting company because one of the ways they can check it is with Street View.
Right.
They can
go
and look and see if that business is where it says it is or go find it where it really is. I suppose it's possible to do that algorithmically using a computer, but far better to use the computer between our ears and set up something like this on Mechanical Turk where you could parse out this job all over everywhere and get individuals to do the work for you.
Right, right.
Which I think sounds awesome, and I love the idea of slapping the hands of these bad businesses. I mean, they should be dropped from Google altogether, you know, so far as I'm concerned. You were bad. You don't get a listing anymore.
Yeah, right.
Well, that's all the time we have for today. Our sponsor, ESRI, would like you to know that ArcPad 10.2 is available, giving GIS professionals more capabilities for improving their mobile workflows. This release offers better integration with the ArcGIS platform and speeds data collection in the field with new automation options. For more information or to evaluate ArcPad, visit esri.com/arcpad. If you'd like to comment on today's podcast, you can reach us at editors@directionsmag.com. You can send us a tweet @directionsmag. Or you can leave a comment where this podcast is hosted at directionsmag.com. Thanks for joining us, and be sure to tell a friend.